Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, and always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. And today is no different. We've got a powerful show planned, but I got a question. How are you holding up? How are you doing? I know many are walking through incredibly, incredibly tough times. And Scripture talks about when we get discouraged, that God calls us to courage. In fact, I did a word study a while back on discouragement. You know what it means? To be shattered into all kinds of pieces. Well, the Lord Jesus holds us together. The enemy is the one who wants us to feel like things are more shattered than they are. If I could grab your face and tilt up your chin, I would tell you, you're going to be okay. God is in the midst of us. He is on His throne, and His promises are still true. And I'm thinking today's show may just light a fire in you. In fact, if you feel weak, one of the passages from Scripture that I rely on all the time is this: let the weak say, I am strong. Well, my guest today writes this. She says, strong is not wrong. God made you to be strong in every area of your life. However, wrong is not strong. In today's culture, it's imperative not only that we are the strong men and women God has called us to be, but that we're strong in the truth of His Word, uncompromising in our pursuit of righteousness. Strength is a calling and a command, but where we draw our strength is just as important as how we display it. I'm so grateful to welcome my friend, author, and speaker Lisa Bevere to the program. When I did Live the Promise in the afternoon, she was on every single month, and her schedule is wild. She travels all over the world, so fun to get her back with us today. She's got a brand new hardcover devotional titled Strong, Devotions to Live a Powerful and Passionate Life. And if you've ever heard Lisa, ever read any of her stuff, it's just always packed with power. We've got 6 copies of this hardcover devotional to give away, and it's beautiful. So excited about that. You want in on the drawing? Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. A quick announcement, and this is a big one. We want to invite you to a special live show this Saturday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. All 3 hosts will be on: Bill Arnold, Carmen LeBurge, and myself. Together, we're going to take your calls. We're going to encourage your faith. We're going to pray for you if you need it. But we also want testimonies from you about God's faithfulness, how you're holding up in this day. And if you can't join us for the live show, you can still call or text your testimonies. Text that line, 877-933-2484, or call it after the show, and we'll catch the voicemail. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lisa Bevere's authentic and passionate teachings weave profound biblical truths with practical application. She's a New York Times bestselling author, and her books are in the hands of millions worldwide. She and her husband, John, he's also a bestselling author and teacher, are the founders of Messenger International. It's an organization committed to developing uncompromising followers of Christ to who transform their world. When Lisa's not traveling the globe, you find her in Colorado with her 4 sons, daughters-in-law, and her grandchildren. Lisa, we so missed having you on the show. Good to have you back.
Oh, Susie, it's always a delight. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And you know this, you've been on enough. We love to start every show talking Scripture, and you're a wild woman when it comes to Scripture. What have you been pondering these days that you can share with us?
Yeah, so the other morning I woke up with this particular passage. Excuse me, like I've got like a tickle on my throat. This particular passage is in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. And I hadn't even like read this. It just dropped into my spirit. I had to go and find it. But this is what it says: tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. And so I want to kind of think about that. God is saying it may not feel well right now, but it shall be well with you. I believe that we are moving from a place of unwell to a place of well, from a place where we had idols in our life to a place where we are worshiping the one true God. And then it says, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds, which tells me that my deeds and my choices and my actions in this season are seeds for my next season. So this is not a time to shrink. This is not a time to close our fists. This is a time to clothe ourselves with strength and stretch forth with generosity in encouragement, in finances. You know, John and I, we sat down and we said, we're going to cut our spending and we're going to increase our giving. And that is just how we are going to live right now.
Man, this is fantastic, Lisa. I'm so grateful I asked. And it's so much of what the Lord's been saying to Kevin and I as well. Well, I would love to know how you and John are holding up these days. I love that you're being bold as always. But I mean, it's just, how has the crisis impacted you ministry-wise? How's it going for you guys?
Well, so it's been really interesting. To be honest with you, it's actually been an incredible blessing. We have felt like for a long time, we've kind of been going from one thing to the next thing, And God has actually had been putting some things in our heart about certain things online so that we could really scatter resources far and wide. And so we just said, you know what, let's do the counter of the Spirit right now. Let's sit down. We have this whole thing called Messenger Courses. It's basically kind of a partnership / subscription rate where people pay a certain amount of money per month and then they have access to, I want to say it's like 25 courses, there's kids episodes, and we said, hey, let's just give it away for free for 30 days. Let's not try to find a way to monetize it. Let's try to find a way to sow it. And so we said, okay, we're gonna sow that. And then I recorded 8 lessons about Strong, and I said, I'm just going to do a Strong online course for free. And we launched our 4th lesson today, and we have 15,900 women signed up doing that course. And we just have been just saying, okay, we're just going to – the Word of God is not constrained to what it used to look like or speaking at conferences. We are ministers, and we're just going to continue to minister, and God can take care of everything else. And so we've just been really creative. I've actually really appreciated a time to rest and have a little bit of a reset. I also feel like God is saying, baby girl, this is a great time to do a heart inventory, for you to actually step back and answer some questions that maybe you wouldn't be answering in a different season. And so we have been putting those questions to our own heart as well as sharing it with other people. So that's kind of been what's happened. And as you know, I had a book launch during this. So we have watched the book just basically explode. People are ready. They want to know, what does it look like to be strong? And our publisher, Thomas Nelson, was just so gracious. They said, you can launch it a week early. Go ahead and go for it. And yeah, it's just been an incredible blessing.
Wow, amazing. Now, you wrote this devotional for women, and we've got, I think, 40% of the listeners of Middays are men, and so I'm going to apply these principles across the board as we walk through them. But I want you to talk about this specifically around women, that it's not wrong to be strong. Say a word if you want.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, I want to say it was about a year and a half ago. A friend and I were having a conversation, and she had just come out of a meeting where, whether it was said out loud or just she really felt the implication of it, she felt like the message was, you're too much, you're too strong, you're too confident, you're too focused, you need to back it down. And for whatever reason, it didn't sit well with her, and it made her feel guilty. And so she called me. She sees me as kind of a spiritual big sister. And she said, you know, Lisa, this is what happened. And we are talking. And out of my spirit, I just said to her, you know what? Strong is not wrong. And she was like, you're right. Strong is not wrong. I don't need to feel that I've done something wrong because I'm strong. And so we began to actually talk about this whole idea of strength. And why do women think that for some reason that strong is wrong? And so we said, okay, let's talk about why. And I think a lot of times is that we have not been taught what the meaning of this word strong is. So when I was doing this study, I thought, okay, I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look at what does it mean to be strong. And do you know there isn't any negative words associated with strong? So I'm going to just read some of these because we have an hour together, and so that means we can. But it says, it means robust. So strong means robust, sturdy, durable, solid, resilient, tough, heavy-duty, convincing, sound, clear, persuasive, compelling, effective, formidable, great, intense, fervent, deep-seated, deep, fierce, powerful, potent, passionate, ardent, muscular, powerful, dazzling, bright, brilliant, concentrated, and highly flavored. There wasn't one bad synonym for strong on that list. But when you look at the opposites or the antonyms of strong, you find the words weak, fragile, faint, dim, insipid, and indifferent. And so if we are going to be strong women, that's what we're going to need to be if we're going to make a difference. And you find that this is a season where God is revealing both our strengths and our weaknesses. And see, God actually tests us not to actually make us fail, but to actually make us stronger. And so I love this whole idea that strong is not wrong. Why do we know it's not wrong? Because Ephesians 6:10 says that God is strong. It talks about that God is strong. And then it goes through this whole list of how he arms us to be strong. And in the Message paraphrase, I just loved it. It was super simple. It says, God is strong and he wants you strong. Listen, Christianity requires strength. Being trapped home with young kids requires strength. Not knowing what the future holds requires strength. We're going to have a faith in something bigger than our ability to provide. And I do believe that God is shaking us to wake us and giving us an opportunity to develop areas that are now weak and make them strong.
Can I get an amen? I need an amen, friends. We have this thing, Lisa. We have a text board. And when I ask for an amen, when someone hears some preaching, we get them. You got to text amen, 877-933-2484. We're going to pause here. And I want you to, on the other side, comment on this excerpt from your book. You said, strength is a two-edged sword that can be used as a weapon of destruction or a means of release that sets captives free. And it's not unusual that the first captive that requires release is ourselves. So on the other side, Lisa, I want to talk about just the distinction between a wrongly wielded strength and the whole idea that God is issuing strength to us to see captives set free, and we might be that first person. We've got 6 copies of this hardcover devotional, and I will tell you, Lisa writes like she speaks. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is alive in you. If you are in Christ, Christ is in you. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to my friend Lisa Bevere. She's a New York Times bestselling author, speaker, and she's got a new devotional, hardcover devotional titled Strong, Devotions to Live a Powerful and Passionate Life. And some of the things that she writes about, being strong in God, being strong in spirit, strong in purity, in truth, relationships, grace, strong in battle, strong in freedom, strong in self-control and holiness. We're going to try to get to as many as we can. We've got 6 copies to give away. I so want you to get one. So text the word book to 877-933-2484. Before the break, Lisa, you were saying how, especially with women, strong is not wrong. But I want you to comment on this quote from your book. Strength is a two-edged sword that can be used as a weapon of destruction or a means of release that sets captives free. It's not unusual that that first captive that requires release is ourselves. So say a word first about wrongly wielded strength, because we've seen the damage it can do.
Absolutely. You know, first and foremost, I want to say there's the strong is not wrong, and strong is meekness, and meekness is strength under control. So a lot of times women are like, oh, I need to be meek, and we've gotten the wrong message from people that any kind of strength is something that has a negative connotation to it. But then our culture has actually been in our face and said basically wrong is strong. I want you to be angry. I want you to be vengeful. Use your words to criticize and slander and beat people up. And that also is not the way we want to model strength. Our culture says rebellion is freedom. It says harshness is strong. And we understand that it takes a whole lot more strength to lift people than it does to hold them down. And so we want to use our strength to build lives. And, you know, having going back to what you asked me before the break, we have to set ourselves free from those two opposite polar ideas of strength. We got to realize God is strong and he wants us strong. And any area where we thought that kind of strength, being angry, being vengeful, being hateful, being harsh, those misconceptions that we might have about strength, we need to turn from those. And women often will shame themselves and live in a place of shadow or live in a place of guilt and fear. And so we need to set ourselves free from wrong thinking. And this is something I absolutely love about this time. You know, I feel like we've been given a pregnant pause. And during this pregnant pause, we have a chance to do something that we often don't talk about. We have a chance to embrace repentance. Now, repentance sometimes has a negative connotation in our world. People are like, I don't know if I like that word repentance. But the truth is that repentance is a gift. And when you look at this gift of repentance, it's actually of recovery. So here's something I want to read, because I think it was so beautiful in 2 Timothy. It says, for a true servant of our Lord Jesus will not be argumentative. See, our culture says, oh no, strong is argumentative, but gentle. Oh wow. See, it takes more strength to be gentle toward all. And it goes on to say, and skilled in helping others see the truth, having great patience toward the immature. It takes more strength to operate in that than it does to be argumentative. I can be, and Susie, you know, it's possibly some of my Italian, but it's also other things. I can be argumentative without even trying, but it requires a strength in me to be patient and helpful and gentle. And then it goes on to say, then with meekness, you'll be able to carefully enlighten those who argue with you so that they can see God's gracious gift of repentance and be brought to the truth. Okay, I love that. But then why is that so important? It says this will cause them to rediscover themselves and escape from the snare of Satan, who caught them in his trap so that they would carry out his purposes. You know that the enemy wants to divide and conquer. He wants to ensnare us. But when I actually say, God, I thank you for the gift of repentance, open my eyes to see the way things really are. God, I want you to reveal areas where I have been entangled with things that don't bring you glory, don't bring you honor, don't bring a life, that are not godly. Reveal those things, then I actually come into a place where I recover myself. I'm released from any snare in my thinking. You know, we're obviously moving around. So it's not about a snare in my movement, of course, moving around in our houses, moving around. But I need to rediscover who I really am. And I rediscover who I really am in the presence of God through the gift of repentance.
So good. So I want you to know, friend, she's got this book broken up into sections, as I said, strong in battle, strong in purity. Talk, if you would, Lisa, about what it means to be strong in spirit.
Strong in spirit. Okay, well, first and foremost, I love that when you and I got born again, we actually got a new spirit. We didn't just get any spirit, but we received the Holy Spirit, that there was a spirit of adoption, that God's very spirit came into our life. And so a lot of times you'll hear Christians say things like, oh, I can't trust myself. I have a deceptive heart. I can't trust. Well, you know, before you were born again, yeah, you better not trust that heart. But after you're born again, you've got a new heart and a willing spirit. And so we need to live life according to the Spirit. And that's not a weird thing. That's actually this new gift where, I don't know if this was the case for you, Susie, but before I was born again, things didn't bother me that started to bother me after I was born again. Things that I used to be entertained by were no longer entertaining. I felt grieved. I would think, I don't know why that's bothering me. Well, it was because I had the Holy Spirit. Before, I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I had a crazy heathen spirit of Lisa. And Lisa's heathen spirit was like, hey, I embrace everything. Whatever I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. But the Holy Spirit of God now all of a sudden said, oh, you're not created in that image anymore. You're created in my image, and you're created in my likeness. And so I want you to be led by the Spirit, not driven by your desires or your lust. And so, you know, there's ways to actually kind of wrap ourselves up in the Spirit. And one of the things that we can do is we can sing. You know, Paul is so clear about be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. That's what we're doing. We're talking about the Word of God on this midday break. Then it says, sing and make music from your hearts to the Lord. I'm not doing that part. That's when we roll in the music. But when I am alone, I do that part. I do that part. And I've also had to say, you know what, who I used to be is not who I am becoming. So I need to realize that God has given me a new spirit. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, for the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid. This new spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but he gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Another one says, power, love, and a sound mind. Another version says, power, love, and self-control. So we do not have to live in the same manners that we used to live, but we have authority in the Spirit when we walk according to the Spirit and when we pray according to the Spirit. And one of the best ways that we could pray according to the Spirit is to pray scriptures, because we know that God has authored his word and it is his will.
Kevin, I were just this morning talking in our time of prayer, just that what it means to be strong in spirit. So I was so happy just when I opened up that in your book. And John the Baptist was someone strong in spirit, and it's something God has called us to. We're going to pause here, but I love in that section of the book, Lisa, that you even have a chapter titled Confident and Competent. And I wonder how many of you think of yourself that way, confident and competent. And I love what you said here. I'm not sure there's a single area of my life where I feel completely confident and competent. On my own, I'm confident that I'm incompetent. I love that. But the idea of walking in the Spirit, knowing I can walk with a humble confidence because Christ makes me competent. I think maybe it might be time for just a change of heart and a change of mind. Also in that section, you talk about our spiritual authority. So on the other side, I'd love for you to unpack what we have, what we possess, and what we're supposed to be walking in. Talking to Lisa Bevere, her devotional is strong. We've got 6 copies. Would love to get a copy into your hands. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions or comments, send those in a separate text, and we will be back in a minute. For tuning in to Middays, we will see a victory. Yes, we are in the midst of a global crisis, but we will see a victory, and God will take what the enemy meant for evil, and he will turn it for good. He's a keeper of his promises. As I often say, his promises are as potent as they've ever been. So grateful you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson, talking to my friend Lisa Bevere. She's a New York Times bestselling author. Her new devotional is titled Strong. It's this heavy, weighty, hardcover devotional. And she, as I always say, she writes like she speaks. We've got 6 copies. If you want to get in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. So Lisa, in the section on being strong in spirit, you talk about our spiritual authority. I would love for you just to unpack what it means to walk in that God-given authority.
Yeah, well, you know, can before I jump into that, can I just bounce off of that song? I have one of the most beautiful, beautiful stories. There was this, you know, I love moms. I did a whole course called Moms of Men, and I reached out to the young moms because I can't even imagine homeschooling my kids right now and then doing everything else they're doing. And I asked them to share encouragement with each other. And there was this one mom who had some full-on time with her kids, just needed a break. And she said she laid down on the sofa after putting her kids down for a nap, and she was singing that song. She began to sing, "I'm going to see a victory, I'm going to see a victory," and started singing. And when she got to, "You take what the enemy needs for evil," she heard her children singing, "And you turn it around for good." And she said she knew in that moment that everything was going to be okay. And I love that picture that we are talking of. And I love what you said, these promises, they've never been more potent than they are right now. So we mentioned that God is not the one who gave us a spirit of timidity or fear, but he is the one who gives us power, which would be authority, love, and a sound mind. So I don't know of anything that shuts down our power, love, and a sound mind more than a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear will always say, "Hey, what about you? What about yours? What's going to happen?" And I think a lot of us have come to the place where we're like, you know, I don't have all those answers, but I know who does have that answer. So I am going to actually submit myself to God, and I am going to believe that he's got this solution, and he's going to, as I humble myself, he is going to give me the voice I need to have in that season. So our authority and our power comes from Christ. And, you know, going back and forth between this realization of who we are in Christ, you see a foreshadowing of David in the wilderness in Psalm 18, verse 1. He said, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength." And that is where our authority comes from. Our authority comes from who we are in Christ. It comes from, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength." It also comes when we step away from those things that have been unfaithful sources of power. So if God is our ultimate source of power, then what we've got to say is there anything I've been trusting in? And what I watched David do in the next verse, Psalm 18:2, is he said, "You are my rock." That means my frame of reference. That means my unassailable place of refuge. That means my high tower. He also said, "You are the horn of my salvation." That is an anointing on our life. He said, "You're my fortress." That's that place I fight from. That's where I get my weaponry from. He said, "You're my shield. You're my buckler." He declared God his everything. David was a warrior who had been anointed to be a king, but he did not find his strength in his ability to fight. He found his strength in his ability to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. And so you can't separate strength from our love from God. So we say, "I love you, God. You are my strength." We are actually toppling some idols in our life. And so I love that we are able to say, "You're our strength." Now, that takes some faith. When we call the one we cannot see the strength for what we can see, then we're actually operating in something called faith. And faith is this incredible substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. That's what we hear in the book of Hebrews, that by faith, this is how all of our ancestors that went before us, that we get to be part of this incredible long lineage of a faith story, that they lived by faith. And one of the things it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we better figure out, what does that look like? Well, if we've had faith in our circumstances, or faith in our savings, or faith in our job, or faith in our spouse meeting all of our needs, or faith in our community, connections, meeting all of our needs. All of this has been shaken right now. And so God is saying, I want you to actually put all your faith in me. And Abraham is our model. He wandered in the wilderness, and he was looking for what he had not yet seen. And I think that we have all seen certain things in our season before, but we have a hope on the season after. We're going to go into this season one way, and we're going to come out, not people of I trust in this, but people of faith who say, God, I believe the one who promises is faithful. I don't know how you're going to be faithful, but I believe you are faithful. I believe that you can take my nothing and you can make it into something. I believe you can take myself who feels stripped of, you know, somebody was just telling me how many young men right now are really filing. I think it's 6 million men have just now filed for unemployment. Do you know how men feel valued by their ability to provide? And your ability to provide, that's not a bad thing. But God will take this season where you can't find your value in that, and you find your value in him. And so, you know, Susie, I believe this is a season for us to lean into people of faith. So I don't want to make it sound like God is punishing us. I don't want to make it sound like God is tempting us. I do think God is testing us. And when God tests us, it's to actually bring out the best in us. When the enemy tempts us, he is always trying to bring out the worst in us. Mm. So I want to see us come into a season of strength. In this time, it's a time of testing. It's a time of wilderness where we find out that man does not live by bread alone, nor does woman, but we live by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. So this is actually a gift in many ways.
I need an amen. I need a bunch of amens. I'm sorry. That was so powerful. You got to text me amen. I wish you could see the text board and people text in. Lisa, that is brilliant. And God doesn't test us. He tests us to bring out the best in us. The enemy tempts us to bring out the worst in us. And what an incredible time to be looking at, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking of Hebrews, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There's lots of stuff in our lives that haven't been sinful, but they've hindered, and we've loved it. You know, we've loved the comforts. We've been propped up by so many things, and suddenly we're not propped up by those things, and the temptation is to go after and manufacture another counterfeit. But what if we didn't do that? What if we really did fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? We would walk in a new strength that we didn't know we were missing. Amen?
Amen. You know, one of the things I have found so comforting is reading Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 and just thinking, all right, this is a life-altering opportunity right here. And there is this beautiful legacy, you know, and what I love, you know, you quoted 12 where it says, since we are surrounded, you know, we have people cheering us on. They are saying, we understand that right now in this moment, you need to lift your eyes and look into the next season. Develop what you need in this season. Ask for what you need in this season. Sow what you're going to need in the next season. You know, it's shocking to me, but everything that God does is countercultural to the spirit of this world. So we need to operate in the opposite spirit that the enemy wants us to operate in. The enemy says hoard. God says that's not going to be good. God says the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And you think, how can I be generous when I'm locked into my house? You can call a neighbor. You can say, what can I do? I know I can't come over, but what can I be praying for? Or if you're going out to the grocery store, what can I pick up for you? Or you can just be generous when you're in the grocery store. You know, John and I went into the grocery store yesterday. My second son is celebrating his birthday tomorrow. And we said, okay, we can do family. We can do family. What are we going to do? And he said, you know, I really want spaghetti. Well, we haven't been able to find meat at our grocery store. So we said, it might only be red sauce, but if we can find hamburger, we're getting it. And so we go in there and we're, oh, they had a hamburger delivery. So we grab some hamburger, and every single one of the employees we saw in the store, we on purpose made eye contact with them, and we said, thank you for being courageous. Thank you for coming into the store so I could have food. Thank you. And you could see, Susie, you could see it really meant a lot to them. You know, we need to be saying thank you to the medical people. And maybe, like me, I don't have a medical person's phone number, but you know what I can do? I can pray for them. I can sow seeds of prayer. I can sow seeds of faith. I can talk about things that would encourage them so that if they go to my social media, they're going to see they're being celebrated. But one of the things that I don't know, this just spoke to me, and maybe your people are going to be like, Lisa, you've just been locked in your house too long. But one of the things that meant a lot to me was Hebrews 11:7, where it says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And I felt like God said, tell my people, this is the time to build an ark in your house, an ark for my presence, an ark for my power, an ark for faith, an ark for hope, an ark for love, an ark for the word of God, for the saving of your household. I do believe that we're going to come out of this season of hardship into a season of harvest. I believe that with all of my heart. Because Susie, John and I are trying to get stressed about it, but we have just felt God's peace. Now, that doesn't mean we're not doing anything, but we're finding ways to be creative with our finances for our team. We have people that work with us, and we want to make sure we can provide for them. But we have felt that God is in control. And I don't believe he has authored the coronavirus, but I do believe he will use it to bring a church to a place of good. You know, I believe that God is going to pour out healing. I believe that God is so – this is just – we have an even now, God. We have an even now, God. And God is just like, hey, people, let's just get the heart right. Let's just get the heart right, and everything else will fall into place. You know, it makes me think of that scene from the Chronicles of Narnia where all the people are frozen. There's statues that the, you know, the white witch has turned into stone. And then Aslan goes running through, and he breathes on their feet. And he says something to the effect of, once the feet are put in order, then the whole rest of them comes alive. And I feel like right now we need to have some feet to our faith. We need to have some action. And God is saying, come on, people, just begin to move towards me. If you just turn, you just begin to turn towards me, you're going to find I'm there. And I'm going to set some things in order, and I'm going to take care of those things that you can't take care of, so stop worrying.
Amen. We're going to pause here. Talking to Lisa Bevere, her devotional Strong, Devotions to Live a Powerful, Passionate Life. Truly wish I had about 20 copies to give away, but hey, I've got 6, and that's great. So text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. I didn't even ask for an amen, and Quetzi texts me one. Amen, Quetzi, thank you for that. Lisa says, the counsel of man is always influenced by the culture and standards of this age. It's foolishness that readjusts itself every decade or so, reflecting the moral temperature of society. But God's word? Well, it stands forever, and it is the standard to which we will give an account. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to be strong in battle. Powerful conversation with Lisa Bevere. Don't go away. More when we return. Much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Lisa Bevere. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She's written a powerful devotional hardcover, weighty. It's just weighty in every way. It's called Strong, Devotions to Live a Powerful and Passionate Life. And I'm telling you, she writes like she speaks. We've got 6 copies to give away. You can text or book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We've been talking about these different aspects of strength, and God wants us strong. Scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. And one of the ways that you address the issue of strength is that we are called to be strong in battle. Say more.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things is we actually need to understand how we fight different. So the world, we think of weapons, and we think of weapons as wounding. We think of weapons as injuring people. But the weapons that you and I have been entrusted with, wow, they're two-edged. And what they do is they come to separate truth from lies, and they bring healing and restoration. They divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, thought and intent. The weapons of this world are created to intimidate and paralyze others with fear, while our weapons are forged in heaven to release and strengthen. So we do not fight the captive. We fight to set the captive free. We attack the stronghold that keeps people bound so that we can release them from prison. And so I think a lot of times that we do not understand even our words are weapons that we can either bless or we can curse. And so in this time period, we want to weigh our words well. You know, I mentioned at the very beginning that it takes more strength to lift people than it does to hold them down. I remember when I was pregnant, which I've done 4 times, and you know, I didn't believe in being a cute, small, pregnant person. I don't know if I just thought this is the time for ice cream, like never any other time in my life. So I would always just get massive. I think I gained 50 pounds with all of my kids. And so my husband, he's a pretty lean guy. I remember I was weighing like 160, maybe, no, actually I would have been more than that. I would have been like 168, and John was weighing 138. And I remember for some reason I thought it would be really funny to just straddle him and hold him down. And I said to him, you skinny little guy, you can't get up because I weigh more than you. And I thought it was hilarious. But the truth is, as much as I could hold him down, I couldn't lift him. I couldn't pick him up. And God is saying to you and I, stop using the word to hold people down. Stop using the word to put burdens on them. That's what the Pharisees did. Stop using the word to put guilt on people. Begin to lift people with your words. Begin to lift people with your life. Begin to speak hope to my people. That's why I opened up with tell the righteous that it will be well with them. And in this season, we deal with our hearts, but repentance isn't this, oh my gosh, I'm going to feel bad for a year now. You know, I remember, Susie, and you're probably way nicer than me, but when I first got married to John, I was awful. If he did something wrong, I would not forgive him until I felt like he had paid a price. I thought it was scriptural. I said, you're going to have to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. And when I see that fruit, then I will release you. That is not how God acts. As God, just as soon as we say, man, God, I'm so sorry. You know, he's just like, baby girl, magnificent son. I know, and I have something better for you. And God is saying to us, it's time to not just study the weapons. It's time to develop strength so that you can use the weapons I've entrusted you. We're strong so that we can actually help other people. You know, it's kind of, we were laughing right before this. I had just another podcast. We were laughing. Americans work out for one reason, basically, and it's so they can look good in their clothes. But God is saying, hey, people, let's switch this around a little bit. Let's develop strength so we can do good, not just look good. And Amen. If you are doing good, you will also look good. And our sweet little friend in Proverbs 31 says that she clothes herself with strength, and she opens her hands to the poor and the needy, and she stretches forth. And there are many ways of poverty to be in people's life. You know, I've met a lot of rich people whose lives are completely poverty-stricken when it comes to the things of the Spirit. And I've met some people that they would do anything to have just a kind word. And we need to be those people that are adding to people's life, lifting them with God's word, saying, I know these are uncertain times. I know these are frightened times. David said, when I am afraid, not if. He says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. We can't trust in a government bailout. We can't trust in anybody other than God, because those things are going to be shaken. So we're going to trust in him. We're going to pray for our leaders. We're going to open our mouths with wisdom and kindness. If not, we'll just go and hide in our closet, because we got a lot of people in our world right now. So we want to make sure that we are blessing people rather than cursing them. We're going to thank God that we're in this trial right now where we are developing strength. Struggle is strengthening. And I think for too long, we in the church have believed we could be heroes without a battle. And God is saying, this is your battle. Come out of it a hero. It's not about how we've come into this season. It's how we're going to go out of it, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. I want to read this from your devotional. Simple words of encouragement and compassion could make all the difference for someone. We have within our power life-giving medicine. Listen to that, friends. You wrote this probably a year ago, and I feel like this is a word for right now today. We have within our power life-giving medicine when we speak from the Word of God. He alone is the healer, so it's no surprise that his words carry healing. It costs so little to encourage others and benefits them in more ways than we could ever know. There is something so powerful about the spoken word, and I know in the church at times it's been taken to an extreme. We're not talking about that. Hopefully you know Lisa and you know me well enough to know we're not talking about that, but there is something so supernaturally powerful about walking in our authority and then using our words, as you say, to lift up, to bless, and even to set captives free. Say another word if you would.
Absolutely. Well, and again, if you don't know what words to say, then send people scriptures and, you know, release words of life. Because here's the thing. We are created in the image of God, and one of the ways that we bear his image is our ability to communicate. You know, I have the cutest puppy in the world, and I can tell that sometimes she's like, man, I wish I could talk, but I am going to do everything I can to get your attention in every other way. Well, God is like, hey, people, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I've got this incredible promise for you. If you will actually speak my word, I will watch over my word to perform it. Now, that isn't, again, like Susie said, that's not claiming cars or whatever else might have been a weird thing. It's about saying, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. It's about I can cast all my cares on him because he cares for me. It's about what I already quoted. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. It is about finding his words in our mouth so that we can actually feel faith, which is that capacity and expectation and assurance that God is involved with our life. We can feel faith rise to the surface, and we won't just speak faith to our own life and our own family, but we will be a release of faith for other people. We can speak life. There's so many people right now. Susie, you know, it's hilarious to me and actually a little frightening that I did write this devotional over a year ago. I turned in the manuscript last February, and then it comes out in this season where people need strength. And yet God knew. He's like, I'm gonna actually go ahead and move through this season to add strength to people's lives. You know, we looked at each other when everything happened and we said, how humbling and prophetic that this devotional would come out now. I have never written a devotional in my entire life, And this is not just filled with, you know, like, oh, you're a beautiful daughter of the Most High. I mean, there's no fluff. I came home from reading and I said, oh my gosh, it's so strong, John, because I had only done the devotionals, written them separately. And now when I went into Focus on the Family and read it out loud, I felt convicted. And so
we have to stop here.
To add strength. Yep.
Oh, Lisa, fantastic. Yep. Fantastic. And I want you to hear this, friends, as we get ready to wrap. Lisa says, when you feel calamities are about to sweep you under and you feel ambushed on every side, get excited. God's about to show up and do what you cannot. This is what we want from this show today. Lift your chin because your redemption draws near. Lisa, we love you. Please come back and congratulations on an amazing book. And we will leave the drawing open for a few minutes. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. God bless you. We love you. We'll meet you back here. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.